This is the first time that the Horace Mann Educator Panel has answered questions on food allergies. We have done lots of surveys, but we haven't really addressed the topic of food allergies. So this is kind of a baseline survey for us, and it gives us a good indication of what teachers are experiencing in the classroom. We've all heard that allergies are on the increase and things like that, but really for teachers, they're saying that in the classroom, for an elementary-sized classroom, maybe about 24 students, they're seeing on average about one or two students in the classroom with allergies. And then in a middle school classroom, which about 26 students was the average that we were getting back, they've had about two to three. So, you know, the numbers aren't huge as far as kids impacted by allergies in the classroom, but those few kids, you don't want to leave them out when it comes to snack time or birthday parties or rewards and things like that. So it's something that the teachers kind of grapple with as far as knowing what to do with it and just being aware of it.
Yeah, that's something people probably don't think about. We think about the health side of it, but you don't think about maybe that emotional side for a kid who's told he can't have what everybody else is having.
Right, and that's a tough one for kids. And teachers in our survey said that they were most concerned with, one, getting feedback from parents. They said, for them, it would be most helpful if parents at the beginning of the year, instead of just filling out, say, that card at registration that says, do you have any food allergies? And you say, you know, yes, my kid has this allergy, to make sure that you're also communicating with the teacher at the beginning of the year. Because many of the teachers in the Horace Mann Educator panel said that a lot of times they're not getting that message. They're finding out from the kid in the classroom that they have a food allergy. So they said a big thing for them is communication between the parent and about that food allergy.
I have to say I was a little surprised at the number where it said a third of all teachers don't allow food in the classroom. I actually thought it might be higher because of just some of the issues we've talked about, you know, to be more safe than sorry type of policy in place. I thought that that number actually seemed low.
And that may be a trend, I think, that we see as we go on. I think that the Centers for Disease has also been sending out some guidelines as well for teachers in the classroom with allergies. So this may be an indication that we may see more of this kind of behavior in a classroom where teachers say, you know what, maybe we should just ban food altogether and think of other ways to reward kids along those lines. In our survey, yeah, as you said, about a third are saying that they just don't allow food in the classroom at all. Others responded saying they, you know, try to make sure that the students that have allergies will bring in their own food. Or they try to make sure that if there is a snack offered in the classroom, it's a snack that, say, doesn't have any peanuts or doesn't have any gluten and things like that. Now, that can become a challenge, especially if you have a kid who's a peanut allergy and a kid who's got a gluten intolerance and another one who has a lactose intolerance. You know, that cuts a lot of snacks out of it. So teachers may find that in the future it may be easier to do rewards and celebrations and things without food.
Yeah, it's going to be hard enough, I think, to teach a class, let alone to deal with all the dietary issues that some kids have and health issues in many cases that these kids have. Well, this was a survey of teachers. I'm guessing some school districts have set policies in place on this, though?
We did not ask that question, and since our educator survey panel is made up mainly of educators, we did not ask about the district. And we didn't really have a question that specified that. Now, in my knowledge, I know some districts have come up with their own policies as far as food in the classroom. I know the Springfield School District has had, you know, in some instances, an area where they'll say, you know, don't bring any food that's made at home because we're not sure what the ingredients will be. So they make sure that it's store-bought food that's brought into the classroom that they can actually read the label and see it doesn't have peanuts, it doesn't have this. Because for teachers, as they were saying in our survey for Horace Mann, that it's really it's a challenge to know what they can and can't have.
We're talking with Michelle Eccles, and she is with Horace Mann. We're talking about a nationwide Horace Mann Educator Survey, and one of the questions on there involved food in the classroom. One-third of teachers surveyed say they do not allow food in the classroom. Now, the top five food allergies, according to the people that did respond to this, I saw were peanuts, lactose intolerance, gluten intolerance, milk, and tree nut. That's pretty similar from what we see, I think, across the country.
Pretty common. The top common one was peanuts at 96%. And then lactose intolerance came in second at about 45%, I think it was. And then gluten came in at about 42%. The other allergies to tree nuts and milk and corn and soy were very minimal But as, you know, we are finding out from teachers, it doesn't matter what the allergy is or how many kids have it. It's still a challenge for them in the classroom.
What happens to this data? I mean, once you get this, I know that as an insurance company, basically, you're not looking at dictating policy on these issues, but is this data used in some other way?
It is. Horace Mann, as you said, is an insurance company that was founded for teachers, by teachers, actually. And what we use this for is just another added bonus for our customers who are teachers. How are other teachers dealing with issues in the classroom, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, they're paying their own money for classroom supplies? How do they relate to other teachers? Is it the same across the nation? So we communicate this to our clients and to our customers. And then we also use it in our social communities. As you know, Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest is a big one for us because that's, you know, teachers go there for ideas all the time. Social communities are big. So we use this type of data to kind of spur conversation and to get shares on social media. So Facebook has been a big bonus for us. And we will oftentimes post some of our survey information. And then we get a whole nother aspect of things as people respond to what they see on the survey. How are things in their classroom? So it's a really good resource for us as Horace Mann, the insurance company, but it's also a great resource for teachers.
I saw one of the people noted in this was Doug Goss, principal of Wilcox Elementary,
right,
in Springfield, and he talked about some of the moves that they have made there.
He did, and he says that for the most part in their classrooms, they don't even allow food anymore because of the food allergies, because of peanuts and lactose intolerance, and they've asked, as I talked about earlier, that people don't bring in food items for birthday celebrations and things like that. And they've also, even at their school, have taken chocolate milk off the menu and just make it a kind of a special treat kind of thing. But in the research that we have done and in some of the responses from teachers, too, they're saying they are getting more apt to provide, say, other incentives in the classroom. That's one thing they look at. And we also, when we do these surveys, ask teachers to respond just on their own. What are some of the challenges and things like that that you are facing? And teachers, you know, said as far as allergies are concerned, again, keeping the allergies out of the classroom is one of the biggest challenges because somebody could bring, say, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to lunch. They get it out in the classroom and you have one of those airborne peanut allergies. You didn't have anything to do with that as a teacher. You don't know anything about it. You didn't know that child brought that, but then that becomes a problem. And so some of our educators have said that they are concerned about just response, you know, being very well educated on how to respond to an allergy reaction and things like that. I'd say more than half in our survey said that they are confident about responding to that type of thing, but there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, and that seemed a little bit, unnerving. You know, if you have a kid who has these type of problems, just the fact that maybe the teacher doesn't know what to do or could not recognize that the child might be going through some problem, even maybe that the child ate something that they brought from home that you didn't even know if you were the teacher. So that seems to be something like to get out there as well as maybe to discuss more about the training of teachers.
More education on, you know, how a child reacts to an allergy and what you can do. And you know, they could go to lunch and have something, come back to your classroom and start having a reaction. You don't know what happened. So, yeah, I think from what we are hearing from our educators, the response to how to deal with that allergy is something that they would like more education on, and also just more thought on the whole process and how to, you know, go from the classroom to the cafeteria and communication between parents, the school, and other students. They need to educate other students in that classroom about the allergy so that they know it's not, you know, the kid's different and that type of thing, and make it more of a group effort to make sure everybody is safe.